This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Happy Friday. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. That intro means it's 2:07 on a Friday. So you're close. You're almost there. The holiday week is coming up. People are going to be getting together for family dinners, and there has been a big election, which is a huge divider of people. You know, when I talk about the election with people who are around me, now, granted, there are few people who are in my life with any frequency who don't know that I talk about politics for a living or which side of the aisle I fall on. There are plenty of people in my life who know up to that much about me, and they never listen to me on the air. They don't know what I say here. They just know that I'm on the radio and I'm probably on the opposite side of them on a lot of policy things. But I do try to talk to people in my life who are not politically aligned with me that I know would be open to talking to me about it or whatever. And I just be like, so, you know, after the election, how are you? Are you cool? What do you think? And so many people who I've talked to have said, you know what, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. There's a pretty normal, like, not really very happy about it. And the interesting thing to me about it, and which is what we've been saying throughout the course of the entire campaign, is that people were choosing whether to vote for Trump or against Trump. Nobody was salivating over the idea of, not nobody, but very, very, I don't know people who were just elated over the thought of voting for Kamala Harris and making her the next president of the United States. Now, if that meant keeping Donald Trump out of office, the appeal was absolutely there. But I've noticed in my personal life that the people who I talk to, and I'd say I probably talked to about a half a dozen people in my life who were middle of the road to left of center, a couple of them who I feel are pretty far left, and they're not losing their minds. And it's almost as if they know that certain parts of their life are going to get better, and there are other parts they're not looking forward to. But on the whole, it's not really the end of the democracy that has been sold to so many people leading up to it.
That's great. That's really good to hear, because if you believe that this is the end of democracy, I think people are almost equating that to like the end of the known world. It's more than just, will I be able to vote for a leader in the future? They're saying, I think that everything I've ever known about my life is going to be shattered, is what they refer to end of democracy as. And it's good to hear that the hyperbole really hasn't been translated into every person who voted for Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
The last 4 years, no matter who you are, there are aspects of the last 4 years that you have said, this sucks. And I don't care if you are trying to paint the rosiest picture you possibly can for Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, but you have to admit that there are things that you hope will get better under, not necessarily Trump, but just a different administration.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of these people, if Nikki Haley were running against Kamala Harris, a lot of the people I talked to would have at least thought about the opportunity to vote for Nikki Haley.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you are just dyed in the wool on social issues, And I was talking to Brad about this earlier today, and I brought up this question, and I think you had a good response to it, but I still am like, I still don't quite grasp it. It depends on how you define it. If you are not really into the far left, the social movement, you know, the change the world stuff of the progressive left, and you consider yourself to be kind of a traditional Democrat. We were talking about James Carville being that kind of Democrat, typically a left of center, but not, you know, he criticizes the woke stuff a lot. If you are that person, what exactly is it that you want out of Democrats? Because I couldn't figure out, aside from the really woke stuff, what does a Democrat today stand for if you're center left? I don't know what that is.
Did you have an answer?
Yeah, what I told him was, is I said, you're coming at this and you're thinking about this like a Republican would, like a right of center, right wing person would think of it. What they want is they want a little bit more government control. They see government as a safety net, as something that can help them in life. They don't look at the government the same way we do and just completely mistrust it. They think, for the most part, they believe that those in government have our best interest at heart. And maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't know. At the upper echelons, it's just hard to see that. So they can look at this and say, well, yeah, I think it would be good to tamp down misinformation on the internet, because the misinformation on the internet will mislead people. And because they have that inherent trust of the government, they think that the government is able to then do that responsibly. So they do want that sort of thing. And we look at it and we say, oh my gosh, that's so unappealing, because like they don't necessarily have our best interests at heart. And I'd rather have to deal with the misinformation than to put somebody in there that would purposely mislead us for their own gain. They want a little bit more government regulation on businesses, because they don't want businesses, quote unquote, messing with the little guy. You know, they want more taxes on the rich people, because we do need to fund these social programs that we use to help people that need the hand up and that sort of thing. And they look and they say, well, the wealthier people, they have enough, so we can take a little bit more from them, and that's fair because they have enough, and therefore we can then redistribute that. Now, everything that you guys are listening, hearing me say, and you're cringing and you're going, they're not looking at it from the same belief system that you are. That's what they want from their party. So a lot of that stuff may sound like super extreme left wing, but even a little bit of it is appealing to somebody that would be center left.
It's still basically socialism, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, socialistic, yeah.
And when you said that, you're not wrong, but I would like to hear somebody eloquently state, because we consume a lot of media. You're pulling clips. Annie is up all night listening to the news half the time. We're all really consumed with what's going on and listening to the pundits. And I still have not heard, even post-election, somebody come along. There's a fight going on between should we move left or should we move back to the center. That's great. But I don't really hear what the center is saying this is what we should stand for in public. Now, maybe that's what you're saying, but I don't hear them saying that.
Well, you don't hear them saying that because they haven't won the fight and been able to make their case. They're having that fight within themselves right now. And it's kind of like, you know, they talked about that with us on the right. You know, there's a battle for the soul of the Republican Party. There's a battle for the soul of the Democrat Party. There wasn't before. I mean, the people on the extreme left were just going left. That's what they were doing. That's why you've got all the quote unquote woke stuff. They were just going left. And that's why you saw, I can't think of his name, Dean Phillips, say, I'm going to run for office. And then he was a little bit more reasonable. I still wouldn't vote for him, but he was more reasonable than a Joe Biden or a Kamala Harris on their policies. Even like some of the stuff that Kamala Harris started talking about in her campaign was moderated policies. Now, I think she was just saying it so maybe she could win the election. I didn't think that's where the Democrat Party would go. But that does appeal to that left of center voter. So, I that's what I think they want.
Fox News has an opinion post up right now by Hugh Hewitt. And, you know, I've got an interest in what Hugh Hewitt has to say, but his headline is Top 10 Lessons from the Landslide. President-elect Trump's victory is the greatest political comeback story in American history. Well, before we get into his 10 points or breeze through them a little bit, I, you know, we always think that what we experience is the biggest or the greatest or whatever that it's ever been. But I'm hard pressed to think of a political story, like, honestly, like a comeback story. The extent with which they've tried to hold Donald Trump down under false pretense, completely contrived, made up baloney sausage to keep him from being able, they just wanted him to not be the president. He won the election. Nobody thought he would ever win the election. He wins it. And the next day, it was like the Washington Post or something says the impeachment starts today.
Mm-hmm.
Or now or whatever. I mean, that they from the jump, they were out there telling you the entire time that they were going to stop him. And they did. They impeached him twice. I don't know. Scooter, how many felonies did he have? I forget what the number is, and I'm wondering if they've updated their count. But, I mean, the amount of lawfare that's been levied against him, what they've tried to do to his business, what they've tried to do to his character, and then they shot at him. And it's just not something we talk about. Who was this guy, and why did he shoot the president? Why did that happen?
That's a good question.
The person who did the shooting killed somebody. You know, we always talk about how close it was, how close Donald Trump was to losing his life. A man lost his life. And it's just not a public conversation that we have. What are the lessons to be learned from this landslide? And I would assume that everybody has the opportunity to sit down and think about it and learn something from it. Number 10, the vast majority of Americans do not care anymore what anyone wrote or said in the past, even if they were once upon a time widely respected among media elites and right in their past predictions. Trust is earned in ounces and lost in pounds, and the failing gatekeepers in legacy media shed pounds and pounds of trust on Tuesday. I think that's a pretty accurate statement.
Very, very. Very true.
What have you done for me lately? And honestly, when you're talking about people who are paid by the public, that's really the way it needs to be. You have to constantly show up and earn the dollar that you're taking, and make sure that you are being forthright and honest in what you're doing. And we haven't had that. A lot of taking, minimal making, and a lot of deceiving.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said. People will always say, well, trusted voices. People really rebelled against quote-unquote trusted voices. And when you think about who that is, most people go, well, that would have been like Walter Cronkite. We don't have anybody like that anymore. No, I'm talking about today's trusted voices, your influencers, your Jon Stewarts. They bucked all of them. All of those people who are very influential in modern-day politics, America said no.
Well, because those people who are influential in modern day politics, the people who are actually influential are just people who are honest and straight with who they are. They're somewhat unapologetic for who they are because they're real. I've seen this so many times lately, but Gen Z, the youngest generation that's now moving its way into the workforce, they just want something that is real. They don't want prepackaged. They don't want polished. They just want something that is real. And a lot of that was reported around Logan Paul and why he is so incredibly successful, because why everybody else was doing polished, contrived stuff, he was doing stupid stuff. But it's kind of stupid stuff that you do for real with your buddies. And he just was doing it on a camera and sharing it with people. Number 9. Lessons to be learned from the landslide. You can be a border hawk and an immigration regularization dove. The president-elect has intuited this with his unwavering support for the border wall and an expanded border patrol, plus enforcement of existing deportation orders, while also talking about an America open to talented foreigners seeking to come or to stay after their educations. He could consolidate and grow his coalition by backing regularization of dreamers without felony convictions and other distinct groups of unauthorized migrants, such as residents in the country for 10 years with no criminal record but a history of employment and community service. This is the conversation that never happens, because Republicans talk about the border, Democrats talk about immigration. It's intentional. You're not seeking to solve the same problem, so you're never going to agree on one.
That's a great position to take, and you're right. Well, Hugh Hewitt's right Trump doesn't get enough credit for making that part of the conversation. He did it during his first term quite a bit. He hasn't talked about it, or at least we haven't reported on him talking about it as much in his second run here, but he is not anti-immigration.
I suspect that he is going to rub Republicans the wrong way, a faction of Republicans the wrong way, with the grace and mercy he includes in his administration towards people who are here.
I agree. He actually has a much more soft line on legal immigration than most Republican hawks. I guess that's what he's saying, is that you can be a border hawk and be dovish on immigration policy generally.
Well, one of the things that he mentioned in there is opening the doors and making an easier path for the people that are intelligent, that can add to and enrich your society. And I'm all for that. You know, we're the greatest country in the world. And if people want to come here, that means we get the pick of the litter. We get to pick the best people to allow in here. And I have no problem with that.
Number eight, COVID shutdown policies, especially those that needlessly shuttered the schools, were a disaster driven by unelected elites, dissent from which was censored at the time by collusion between big government and big tech. Voters have not forgotten. Democrats are the party of big government, and big government failed everyone during COVID, but especially our children. It's so much, just 100%.
What shocks me is how quickly we've forgotten that. It was so transformative. It was so heavy-handed.
The COVID kids are going to be the COVID kids for all time. That their entire life will be defined. You know, your core memory moments that happen on the timeline of your life, when you, for the rest of the lives of those children who are my children and your children, they will remember what it was like to wear a mask everywhere, and then all of a sudden you don't have to. But my Evelyn, she's 8 years old now. Masks started happening and we were wearing masks. She doesn't probably really remember the time before masks existed. Like, she came to a place where she's having those memories of her own. And masks were a thing. And then all of a sudden it's like, we're not going to wear masks. And I know for my daughter, but for a lot of kids, didn't want to take it off. It was a safety blanket for them.
Yeah. And it's amazing going from 2020, where you did have President Trump. Now, he didn't make the perfect decisions in 2020. But then you get into 21, where you have a Democrat administration, and they immediately, still in COVID, with the veil of COVID, took every opportunity to expand government into your life that they could immediately. Yeah.
Number seven, the FBI and DOJ ought never to have acted on the referral from the National Archives and Records Administration concerning the president-elect's papers at Mar-a-Lago. And NARA showed its true blue colors when it set in motion that failed opening episode of Lawfare. There should never have been a search warrant sought or issued on a former president's home. There ought not to have been any federal prosecutions of the president-elect. All of it was election interference undertaken by a hyper-politicized Department of Justice at the prompting of hyper-politicized NARA bureaucrats.
Facts.
Lawfare, 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 Lawfare. Loser, loser choice for the Democrat Party.
I mean, comedic that you impeach President Trump for making a phone call that would have maybe in some way been seeking to look at the misgivings of a possible political opponent.
Well, they were already investigating. Yes. He was the president of the United States. The Department of Justice was actively investigating Hunter Biden. It was already happening. The questions about the Biden family connections to Burisma are legitimate ones. And if you've got legitimate questions about inappropriate relationships that might exist between countries and those who are not our direct allies, and you're investigating it, when the president of the United States says to Zelensky, hey, you know, we're going to hook you up here, but we need your cooperation on this. He never withheld anything from Zelensky. There's no there. But the Democrats, who had the majority in the House, in large part because of their bullcrap lying about Donald Trump and Russia that led to losing the House in the midterms. All of it, a heaping pile of stink. And they got so much on that it came out of 2020, and it all came back to haunt them in this 2024 election. And it really did result not in a close election. We're not still talking about who got how many votes or what states. Like, we're past that. It's mid-November, and the decision has been made. It's not like last time. Number six, Trump's policy on abortion, that it is an issue for the state legislatures to decide pursuant to the police power which the Constitution left with the sovereign states, is the constitutionally correct one and has been since the disastrous overreach by the Supreme Court in 1973 in Roe and the court's botched attempts to repair the breach in Casey in 1992. The GOP needs to defend Trump and the Constitution on this sensitive and controversial topic. A federal statute beyond the existing statute banning partial birth abortions or the ban on federal funding of abortion is unnecessary and counterproductive. The political impact of Dobbs is now well known and dissipating quickly as Americans see that Dobbs did not substitute a made-up constitutional standard in the place of Roe Casey. Pro-life legislators in the states must learn the language of persuasion as abortion policies in most states are debated and sometimes revised with restrictive legal regimes in some states and extremely permissive laws in others. This is not necessarily what I think that we learn here, and maybe that's what Hugh Hewitt is saying, is that Republicans are going to lose elections on the abortion issue. You go all in on all pro-life, you're going to lose elections over it.
Right now, that's true.
I think that's the issue. And which we say on this show all the time, that you win this issue in culture, not with politics. But I hope, I pray to God, that I live to see a day where the culture demands that we get rid of abortion.
That we look back in our lifetime.
In horror.
And go, how barbaric
yes.
could you be? That we could just say, yeah, that's great. Let's do that as much as possible.
That you could dismember the bodies of babies in utero and take them out and just call it a Tuesday.
Yeah.
I do agree that abortion is a losing issue for Republicans, but I don't agree that Republicans should stop fighting the fight. You just got to fight it on a different field. You got to fight it in culture. You got to fight it in your communities, and you've got to show up and be there. Let's get to the next five in the next break here. So after the next break, so stick around. We're learning from Hugh Hewitt's suggestion list here on Fox News, his opinion piece on the things that we can learn, the top 10 lessons from the Donald Trump victory landslide. Let us know if you agree with them. Also, send us your messages on the YouTube live chat poll. If you go to the Audacy app, AUDACY, you can leave us a message right there by clicking the microphone next to the play button. Next to the 97.1 FM Talk live stream. You can also go vote in the YouTube live chat poll on the Annie Fry Show YouTube page. We'll be right back. Here comes the two to the
three to the four. This is the Annie Fry Show.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fry Show, happy Friday. It's good to be able to say that, isn't it? We are going to wrap up the show with the poll results here shortly, and we've got some clips in here. Drew was telling me about some of them out there. He's like, people, the things you all are saying about bidets, he doesn't really understand it completely. So Drew's going to come in here at the last segment and weigh in as well on the YouTube poll. To bidet or not to bidet, that is the YouTube poll question. Go to the Annie Fry Show live chat poll and vote there. Are you going to get one? Do you think you're really going to get one, or is this just a pipe dream?
That's very funny.
I didn't think of it until halfway through that sentence.
I saw your face. You're like, hey, I just really
yeah.
walked
if you were
this.
Watching the YouTube stream, you could see the exact moment that I thought of it. You yeah. will know.
I'm so funny all of a sudden. That was the look on your face that you were like, oh.
I always tell my husband, like, the looks will fade, but at least I'm funny. And every time I remind him that, I think he's a little more annoyed.
The answer to your question, will I get a bidet? It depends on the puppy. Because if we get a puppy, we may not be able to afford the bidet.
The money, you're...
We've got a certain amount of allocated
money. Sounded like
money.
You were talking about, like, puppy, like, oh, let me see one of those puppies. But, in as if you were referring to the bidet. But
no.
You were actually talking about a dog.
A dog, a small dog, that we are considering getting. If we get a dog, it may precede the
bidet. Maybe a Valentine's Day gift.
I'm looking at the bidet as something that, even if we don't get it now, though, we'll get it at some point, because I've already talked to the people. Like, I know where we're going to buy it from. I know who's going to install it. So I kind of have everything ready.
Okay.
But it's not... If you get just the toilet seat, it's fine. But you still have to install electric. So you have to have something to plug that thing into behind your toilet. That's the hardest part. Everything else is pretty normal.
Just running an extension cord from the garage.
Through the bathtub.
We were covering the top 10 lessons that we can learn from the Donald Trump landslide. It's an opinion piece on Fox News by Hugh Hewitt. We're on number 5 right now. This is what Hugh says. Americans know our national security is endangered by the China, Russia, Iran, North Korea axis of dictators, and we don't like the prospect of being number 2 or even tied for number 1. Peace through strength is the best option for the president-elect to follow, and to do so with a sweeping set of goals and metrics he should follow, like the, quote, critical path for any of his last major development projects. The rapid expansion of our fleet, especially under the seas, should be a priority, along with the ongoing development of asymmetrical weapons and systems. Thoughts?
I just can't believe how badly this 4 years has been. There really is not an area that they've succeeded at all.
Will the Kamala supporters be saying this in 4 years?
I don't think so. I think people look at the Trump years, the first 4, and they say, oh, look at what the economy did in 2020, and they try to find those things. But everybody ultimately knows, you know what, it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. They'll say it was chaotic, but that was their own doing.
I think that the left gets to have the stage for a little bit after the right has, you know, if you're practicing fiscal conservatism and if you're not looking at massive regulations in every form of government that you can possibly come up with, that capitalism and an America First attitude creates an environment where we have the luxury to dabble in socialism. Mm-hmm. Like, all of a sudden you think, well, everybody gets to everybody should be able to live like this. Well, everybody doesn't live like that. Everybody doesn't live by the stipulations that the United States of America has set out in the Constitution. Everybody doesn't have those freedoms. In fact, most places don't. And when things start going really, really well, then it's almost like a kid who thinks they're real rich because their parents are rich. It's like, you got nothing.
Yeah, you didn't do anything
nothing
for
that
it.
Nothing that you have done here has put a penny in your parents' checking account. They're working their tails off. One of the hardest times in life, this is an interesting analogy. I hope it pans out the way I think it's going to. But, like, when you graduate high school, especially if you're one of the youngest in your family, when you graduate high school, your parents are probably at the top of their earnings that they've ever had in their careers. They're probably making more money than they did when you started high school. They're probably making more money than they did when you were a little kid growing up. And if you're the youngest in the family, they're definitely making more money than when the oldest in your family was born and growing up. The difference in my husband and my income, when we had our son, he had gone back to school. We were living in a house that was what we could afford, but it took us 3 months to even make it livable. We didn't have baseboards in our house for, I think, 2 years because there was cat pee all over them and we had to pull them all out, which is why it took so long for us to, because we bought a house from an estate and everything. But that's what we could afford. And, you know, we did the best we could. We were a single income family for a while, but it all works out. We're in a better position now financially. But when your kids are growing up, and when you get to the point where you're the last one out of the house, and mom and dad are, you got maybe a dual income house, and now they're maybe in management, or they've been there for a couple of decades or whatever, they're making top earning kind of money, and you go to college, and you think that lifestyle is going to go with you? If it doesn't, it's shocking, because you come from a place of potential wealth or comfort, and then you realize that that was comfort provided to you. That was shelter provided to you. Now it's your turn. And it's just like the left, like it reminds me of the squad so much. The room that they have to destroy in the success of the capitalism that they hate, it's kind of laughable to watch them, you know, kind of throwing punches the way they tend to do about the things in America that they hate so much that actually create an environment where they can complain so much. I think that, like, even this number five point that I read here about the tenuous nature of the global stage right now is so next level of an issue that we don't really even talk about it that much, because we're like, what are we going to do? Chat about World War III for a 12-minute segment and then talk about bidets?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's such a big possible problem that you're almost like,
Yeah.
And there's multiple areas. It's not just, oh, this one thing that broke out that they didn't handle very well. Everything is breaking out everywhere that it... I mean, other than China hasn't invaded Taiwan yet, that's the one spot that you're like...
2027 is what we
Well, hopefully this doesn't happen, but it could be all over the place. It would have been in four more years of Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm. Number four, the metric that is nowhere to be found is the, quote, minutes spent being interviewed, end quote, by President-elect Trump versus those by Vice President... by the vice president from the moment President Biden stepped aside. Americans want to hear their elected leaders be asked questions and answer them at length. Trump loves the long interview format, and the format loves him. Skip the fireside chats, the weekly radio messages, the Sunday shows, and legacy media generally. If Trump advanced to an interview a week with very different hosts, none of them from legacy media, they will cement their majorities.
Wow, I like that.
I do too. I like the idea that these are people that can sit down and have substantial conversations.
Mm-hmm. They're real people.
They're real people. And just like you just said with the World War III versus the bidet, that's how people actually talk.
Yeah.
Is you go back and forth between these random subjects. Hey, it's getting a little bit of heavy. You back out a little bit. Yeah, let's lighten it up.
Number three, legacy media ought never to ask one question in a GOP presidential primary debate ever again. Legacy media has become a big blue ball full of left-wing ideologues who are neither very informed about basic facts of American law and society, nor curious about the center-right, much less conservative views on any subject.
That's why they call it MSDNC and all that. They just are mouthpieces for the party.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, 2026 will be a very difficult election cycle for the GOP. Unless the congressional GOP moves quickly to pass reforms that are easily understood and which deliver results for citizens that citizens see and feel. The budget and reconciliation process should be complete by the end of March. The budget should be hammered out between now and January 20th. So takeoff on the reconciliation bills that follow in its wake is close to immediate. The process should result in sweeping changes and not just the extension and revision of the first Trump tax cuts, which matter greatly for the growth we need, but also the building of the wall, the shrinking of federal bureaucracy, the conditioning of federal funds for states for education on the adaptation by the states of robust school choice programs. And it goes on, as well as defunding of many ridiculous features of the federal government, beginning with National Public Radio and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The economy, the budget. Like, get a budget. Do it.
Gas prices are going to come down. I mean, that's going to happen. Whether prices actually come down at the grocery store, I don't know. But once gas prices start coming down, that's going to affect a lot of things. That's going to at least give companies the opportunity to bring prices down. Whether we see it and whether it's substantial remains to be seen.
Once the gas prices start coming down, that removes some of the overhead from those companies, and those companies will compete for your business. So I think you will see prices start coming down.
Last one, President-elect Trump's selection of Vice President-elect Vance was brilliant. I did not think so at the time and was so wrong. The state of origin of a Veep nominee does not matter. Identity politics don't matter. What matters are the arguments that the Veep can make for the presidential candidate's policies. And Vance proved brilliant, eloquent, self-effacing, and funny. Trump should consider doing for his young vice president what Ike did for his young vice president, Richard Nixon, in 1953. Dispatch Nixon on the trip to end all trips. Vice President and Mrs. Nixon toured Asia throughout October and November 1953. They visited 19 countries in 72 days. Just really setting him up for success. J.D. Vance, the most run-of-the-mill, well, not run-of-the-mill in like lifestyle, but like the most white dude a white dude can be.
Yeah, just a Midwestern dude. He's actually one of the reasons that I have a lot of confidence in the people that Trump is picking right now, because he was off the map for me. He wasn't somebody I thought would be a great vice president, but he has obviously Trump saw something in him that we all see now.
Yeah. I'm going to share the article that we read here. It's an opinion piece on FoxNews.com from Hugh Hewitt. And I just thought, you know, look, it's very important to stop and study the moment and make sure that you understand how we got here, because we need to stay here. And you can't ruminate in this moment too terribly long on your own without the moment passing you, and then the other people who are taking the time to learn their lessons, you get lapped. I got a text message. Both World War III and bidets have something in common: explosions.
I'm going to give a bravo to whoever that message is from.
We got 247 votes in the poll right now, and it's 51-49, and if not bidet wins, we're not talking about bidets anymore.
If bidet wins, we can continue to talk about it?
I don't know that I would have to, I could just turn it down if the people ask for it.
I don't know that there's a lot more we could add to the conversation.
Oh, we're so far past adding to the conversation.
Yeah.
It's really...
I mean, I could come up with
addition
more,
by
like,
subtraction at this point.
Euphemisms
you could
or something.
Not.
If we needed to. I'm just saying for the show.
Time to go to break.
Whatever we need.
Let's listen to some of the clips that have been sent to us on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get Drew in here and we'll get the results. We come back, don't go away. I want your
Amazon to get 29 bucks. And it is wonderful. We found them when toilet paper was hard to get back during COVID.
Ooh, smart.
Haven't turned back since. Who needs any fancy bidets? Just the tushy cushy. It's in Amazon. Check it out. Kate James, Wentzville, Missouri. Just wanted to say I love what you guys do, and thank you for the entertainment and the information. Keep on keeping on.
Well, I wonder if she's been listening today.
She has. She's
the entertainment and the information. The cushy tushy.
Yeah. I'm telling you, that one toilet seat thing you can do is not that expensive, and people say it's pretty good.
This one says Ryan Garden Hose. This isn't you, correct?
I did not. No, I have a microphone. I don't need to leave a message.
Oh, it's beneath you.
Hey guys, I don't need that. Day, I don't need one because I have a garden hose I can run through my window.
Oh.
You know, if you're trying to save some money, that's the way to do it.
Oh, that's totally you.
Well, he's not wrong.
Another Ryan out there trying to save money in unconventional ways.
This is Ryan trying to out Ryan.
So what is wrong? Like, what is... Gosh, don't ask questions you don't want to answer, Sue Annie. What's going on? That is so, like, all of a sudden America's been without bidets, but, like, what's been happening that is making... I don't want to
know
the
answer. Are we on
the
leading edge of a cultural revolution? The Annie Fry Show?
No, we
aren't. Is this going to happen?
It's 50-50 right now.
Are people realizing, hey, maybe I don't need all that paper? Maybe I just...
Oh, you're talking about being
bidets.
Green.
No, I don't care about being green. I'm talking about the feeling of freshness that you get when you sit down on a bidet and you let water do your bus route.
For the poll question on whether or not to bidet, it is entirely seasonal. In the summertime, totally great, but there is no way I'm turning that thing on in the winter.
Too cold.
You gotta have a heated seat.
The old Chris Matthews shiver down your spine or your leg.
The heated seat doesn't make the water warm.
It's if you have the right bidet, I believe that it warms the water.
I don't even know if I like that.
Well, you should, because she's right. You don't want to shoot cold water.
Oh, no, we're 51-49. Decisions are being made.
You still got a little time.
Annie Fry YouTube channel. If you want, I guess I don't... Oh, wait. Is this one from John? No, is this... No. Do I want to play this? Did you listen to this?
I did.
And you approve it?
It's risque.
Have you ever tried to get peanut butter out of a shag carpet? I say yes to the bidet.
I hate you, Ryan Wiggins.
I don't know how those things are connected. I don't see the connection between those
two. Brad will explain it later.
No, he won't.
To answer his first question, yes.
All the time.
And to answer his second question, I don't know what the question was, but I approve of the bidet. Again, not unconnected thoughts here.
That was John. Just
Thank
in
you,
case
John.
You run into any Johns in your life and you want to be look side eye at them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that reminds me on the Annie Fry Show Facebook page. Speaking of side eyes.
How's that going?
On the Annie Fry Show Facebook page, we need I never talk about going and following the Facebook page. I was working on building the Facebook page with a great amount of passion on the when I did Saturdays. And then leading into when we got the midday show here in 2018. But Facebook just is stupid. I don't understand. Are you a user? I see you post stuff on Facebook. You post on Facebook more than I post on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm a user and an abuser of Facebook. Yeah.
Put your tongue in your mouth. What is happening over there? Don't you think Facebook sucks, though?
I do.
Compared to what it used to be?
It's terrible because I'll post something. I'm releasing a book on Tuesday. So I'm posting about this constantly. And some random post that I have I'd put no thought into will just go like crazy. Mm-hmm. And then other ones that I put a lot of work into, nobody sees them.
Which one of your posts do you put a lot of work into?
Yesterday, I put one out from a quote from Victoria Jackson endorsing my book. And I put a picture and I put the little blurb on it.
Hey, for the record, listeners, Ryan, just earmuffs real quick.
Okay.
Every time Ryan mentions his book for the next, I don't know, 2 months, take a drink. Go on.
So anytime that I put something out about my book, there are multiple people. I'll get 100 likes on one of them. And the next one, 4 people saw it. What is wrong? And I know what those people are seeing. They're seeing a bunch of random ads from things they don't follow and other posts about cats and Keanu Reeves that they don't care about. And I'm like, why are they not seeing the posts from their friends?
The algorithm is a fickle mistress, Ryan.
Oh, it is. It is. What? I hate it.
The algorithm is a fickle mistress?
Yeah.
That sounds profane. Are we allowed to say that on the air?
Absolutely. And he's right. Brad, you've never been more right.
I'm great. Great.
people are. I have our 4 eyeballs up here. Just, I'll show the stream here. Our 4 eyeballs on our Facebook page, and I told people to guess whose eye belongs to whom, and they're not getting them all correct.
Oh no, they're not. I see.
Mine is correct, but I got a lot of mascara on, so.
Yes.
I'd be pretty upset if someone got that one wrong. So go to the Annie Fry Show Facebook page. Anyway, I have been trying to get across 20,000 followers. I'm not even kidding. I've probably been around 19,000 followers since 2018.
Wow.
And Facebook just was like, nobody gets to see your stuff. I have people who have told me regularly over the years, I just realized I didn't like your Facebook page anymore. I never unliked it. I don't know why that happened. So I have 19,907 followers on our Annie Fry Show Facebook page. So if you want to go see some creepy pictures of our eyes and like the page or follow the page or whatever you're supposed to do, what are you supposed to do anymore? Do we not like anything anymore? We just follow?
I have no idea. Facebook drives me crazy. I am going to continue to use it, though, because once in a while something will hit.
I can't get into Instagram. I never open Instagram. I don't look at anything in Instagram. We have an Instagram show page. I don't know what's happening over there. Hannah was really instrumental. 2 times Hannah mentions in the show. Hannah was instrumental in getting that going, and she did great, but she's gone, and I have not been able to pick it up.
Speaking of picking it up, I don't know how that's a transition, but...
To bidet or not to bidet, that is the question. We have 280 votes in, and it's 50-50.
Really? It's,
it's
tied?
It's 50-50! Yes! I'm gonna end it at...
What does that mean? Do we talk about this more in the future or less?
I think we just sit and stare at each other.
Okay, no more talking on the radio.
I think people want to know, though, if you do make the commitment to get the bidet, I think people want to know if the experience was, if it holds up, so to speak.
Yeah, it does.
You haven't done it yet.
Cleans out the chocolate fountain at Golden Creek.
Oh, my Lord. Mark Reardon's going to have classy people in here in just a minute. On that microphone, even. Next on 97.1 FM Talk.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.